Ya llegó la temporada de asados a The Home Depot. ¿Y tú? ¿En qué estás trabajando? Si es en impresionar a tus invitados con tus asados, el asador de gas Next Grill con 4 quemadores es para ti a un precio bajo todos los días de $229. Además, también puedes encontrar todos los accesorios que necesitas para que tu carnita asada sea un éxito. Ahora sí, listo para ser el anfitrión de la temporada. Esta primavera, encuentra una gran variedad de asadores por menos de $300 en The Home Depot.
We're gonna cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're gonna make fun of people. We're gonna hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. We had some weather issues there. You knew that was inevitable, and it happened. It sure knocked me off, so it is what it is. At least we're back on, at least for now, so who knows what's going to happen. Anyway, I was trying to say earlier that I was looking at all these games. I don't know at what point I got knocked off, but the Brewers have kicked the Giants' ass. This is three nights in a row. They're leading 2-0 in the fourth at Oracle. That would be the first three games of the series that ends tomorrow. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable how badly they're kicking their ass. Kane drove in the runs tonight. They got a two-run lead. And then the Indians and Royals are 3-3 in the 10th in Kansas City. The Dodgers are up 2-0 on the Braves, middle of the fourth. If the Giants lose, Dodgers win. Dodgers take over first. White Sox up 6-3 on the Pirates. Those are the only active games. The Yankees ended their four-game skid. They beat the Angels 4-1. And the Red Sox, I hit the sale bet. I took Boston tonight 3-2 over the Rays. I didn't play that Cardinals-Reds first game. I played the second game and hit the Reds 12-2. They lost to the Cardinals 5-4 in the opener. Rockies I hit. They scored 5 in the ninth to beat the Rangers 9-5. The Diamondbacks beat the Padres 8-3. Mariners over the Astros. I hit that as well. 1-0. Seattle wins it in Seattle. The Blue Jays I hit. They beat the Orioles 5-4. Tigers beat the A's 8-6. Cubs 3-0 over the Twins. Phillies Nationals in D.C. washed. Marlins Mets at Citi Field in New York washed. So they're going to play tomorrow. That Phillies National game will be at 1 o'clock tomorrow in D.C. The A's and Tigers play at 1 o'clock tomorrow, 1:10. The Brewers and Giants play at 3:45 East, 12:45 West at Oracle. And then everything else is at night. Red Sox, Rays will finish up their series. Boston finally won a game. Pirates, Cubs at Wrigley at 8:05. The Marlins and Mets at 7:10 at Citi. Indians, Royals in Kansas City at 8:10. And the Braves and Rockies at Coors at 8:40. I'll tell you one thing. The Braves better be careful because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they're losing, right? and they're not getting it done. We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mighty Ear 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on the bench. The bottom line is that they're losing, you know, to the Dodgers, and their lead now is 2.5, which is still comfortable, but they're 5-5-10. If they lose tonight, that's 3 in a row. And then they go to Coors, as I mentioned. Now, I know the Rockies stink, but they don't stink at home. They actually have a better record at home by 10 games than the Braves. The Braves are a good road team, no doubt. But the Rockies are 43-22 at Coors. They win at home. They never win on the road. And that's all there is to it. They scored 5 today in the ninth to win that game in Texas. And all I know is, I mean, that was a huge rally for them at Globe Life. They win 9-5. If they beat up on the, Braves, I mean, think about it. I'm assuming, I got to look at the schedule here, but it sounds to me like they're going to play 4 there. Braves, Rockies on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then I got to see what the Braves do after that. But 4 games at Coors is not going to be pleasant for Atlanta. And I'm sure after that they go home because they've been on the road for a while. They go home and play the Nationals in 3 and then Marlins in 3. And then the Rockies are in for 3 in Atlanta. And then the Braves go west again to the Giants, if you can believe it or not. It's Pharrell on the bench.
We're no ordinary sports talk network. Not only do we have a roster of world-class experts, but they tell you gaming strategies to help you win. Any simpler and we'd have to hold your hand.
And nobody wants that.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So I don't know if you saw this thing or not, but I think it's the Warriors, the Knicks, and the Nets. No matter what, if you want to play in the NBA, you're gonna in New York or in San Francisco. So in other words, New York or California. And I don't know why that's not applicable to the Lakers and Clippers and Kings, where it would seem that that would be as well. Maybe it's just ordinances in those cities, but I'm hearing that it's just the cities, because I'm hearing that they all, if you don't have the COVID vaccine, you're not playing. And that's crazy, right? Like, so now no matter what, they don't care what you think. They don't care who you are, what you think. You think you're special. You're making all kinds of money. Harden, Durant, Kyrie Irving, you're either vaccinated or you're not playing. Now, I can't wait to see what Kyrie Irving is going to do, because he's Mr. Anti-everything. He's, saving the world. So he's the guy that just takes off once a month for a week. He's got personal issues and he's saving the world. He's not around the team. He just disappears. Don't tell me that guy is listening to the government tell him anything. No one's telling that guy to put a vaccine in his arm. Do you believe, Mafia, that guy's vaccinated, or do you think he blew it off too? Because he beats to his own drum. Nobody tells him what to do.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he's not, because he's very, anti whatever's going on. And, some of his takes, obviously, understand. And a lot of African-American people were cautious about the vaccine because of the history with things that have gone on with the medical industry. So I get that, but at this point, so many people are doing it. I'd still expect him not to, because he can't do what everyone else does. He always has to do something different.
I mean, so how do you think it's going to go over with the Knicks and Nets and Warriors that they have to be vaccinated? I could see Draymond Green not listening to anybody tell him what to do. He's Mr. Get out of my way. No one tells me anything. I don't listen to anybody. And then I want to see, my guess is is that Thibodeau will be able to get the Nick players to conform.
Yeah, I think it depends. I mean, obviously, I don't know everybody's take on the vaccine as far as these players. You know, I haven't kept dibs on that. I know we've had some of these major guys in the sport obviously have come out and people have kept more track, especially, you know, the Lakers with the way that they had their little outbreak. The Nets have had their own outbreak. So I wouldn't be surprised if most of the guys on the team have gotten vaccinated to try to, you know, protect themselves because of how it has gone through that organization multiple times. But I also would not be surprised at all if Kyrie is, you know, one of the few, if not the only holdout on that team that hasn't gotten it done. And that causes issues because it's got to be something, right? If it's not injuries, it's going to be something else with Kyrie that causes drama. And, you know, he's got to make a decision whether he loves basketball or not. This is going to be the next thing.
So now as far as other stuff, like Ben Simmons, there's been a lot of talk about Ben Simmons, where he's going to go. There's been a lot of talk about him going to the Warriors. And then there's talk of that he couldn't coexist with Draymond Green, that I guess they don't like each other or something. Who knows? All I know is I hear all this stuff. They're reluctant to deal for Simmons with Green there. And then there's talk of, you know, him going to the Minnesota Timberwolves. I've heard that as well, that they've talked about that team with Cat and with Edwards and Russell and then adding Ben Simmons. I mean, I've said a million times, I don't question his defense. I don't question his size and strength and north-south ability of running up the court and dunking the ball. I got no problem with that part of his game at all. I got a problem with his mid-range, his free throws, and his threes, and his mind. I have a problem with his yips. I mean, the guy doesn't want to shoot the pill because he knows he can't shoot. So his pull-up J is a disaster, and that's all there is to it. Now, I know he's had a million triple-doubles. I know he can score. I know he can have big nights. Most of that, to me, is layups and dunks. And in the playoffs, he didn't even want to try that. He didn't want to dunk it. He didn't want to lay it up. He was scared to shoot. And that was where his reputation went down into the well, because everybody turned on him and just said the same thing. He can't shoot, and he's afraid to shoot, and he's a liability. And I thought from the time I saw him play in the playoffs with the Sixers, particularly against the Hawks, that he was shot and that it was over in Philly. I mean, his relationship was over there because the fans were on him. The media was on him. The media was on Doc Rivers. And Doc Rivers was having a real problem trying to answer those questions about what's wrong with him and what are they going to do with him and how are they going to fix him. And it was just so uncomfortable, those conversations, that you knew what that meant between the lines was it's over. And then they tried to trade him. And they asked for entire franchises for him. Meanwhile, he's not worth it. He's not worth, you know, everything that they wanted. They wanted a boatload of players and picks. And I mean, like, gigantic numbers of players and picks. And it was just unrealistic for a guy that's a head case. I mean, who wants some guy as your star player that can't shoot the ball, is afraid to shoot the ball, has the yips, and can't hit mid-range free throws or threes, and you're paying him $30 million, and his contract is absolutely enormous. I mean, if you have a contract as big as his, you got to be able to produce every night. I mean, or at least play, you know, every night and give me something big. Like I said, the guy can flat out stop anybody defensively. He's fantastic, and he's got all kinds of accolades to prove it. He's had every award known to man already, you know, not MVP, but everything else. And all I know is he's been there with Embiid. They haven't got it done. I'm done listening to Joel Embiid and all of his promises and all of his projections that they're going to win it and process this and take time and all this other nonsense. He just doesn't get it done. Now, I don't deny that he's a flat-out baller. I don't deny that at all. But I can't believe with the talent that they had, frankly, that they've never got it done. I mean, they are loaded with talent, and they still didn't get it done. It didn't matter if it was Brown. It didn't matter if it was Doc Rivers. It doesn't matter if they got whoever, Danny Green, Tobias Harris. It could go any way you want. All I know is that Ben Simmons can't shoot. So now, what makes sense? Putting him on a team where players hate him, or putting him on a team loaded with talent that he can take that monkey off his back and not have to be the guy that has to shoot the rock and give it to people that can? I mean, that team has guys that can throw it down in Edwards and Cat, and Russell can definitely shoot the rock. He's a good player, but he's a little aloof. He's had his own issues, but he's kind of turned into a, I think, solid, you know, all around, he's solid veteran now, and not like the little, you know, tattletale narc, you know, talking about his teammates with the Lakers where he got in all kinds of hot water. I think he's grown past all of that and you know, matured. So maybe he would fit on that team. It's not the worst thing I've ever heard. Now, I know that might seem like purgatory to him and most players. I'll be honest, I don't think anyone wants to play there. I don't care who's on the team. Nobody wants to live in that Siberia. I mean, honestly, that's all there is to it. But actually, if you're just balling, you ball in the winter anyway, and you play hockey in the winter anyway, it is what it is. If you're on a good team, I don't care if it's snowing outside. If you're on a good team that wins every night and goes to the playoffs, I don't care if you have blizzards every night. I don't care if you leave to get in your car and you get pelted with a snowball. He needs to play on a team that wins. And he did that in Philly, but they never got it done. And nobody wants him around there anymore. It's Pharrell on a bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
Scherzer's dealing again tonight for the Dodgers. They're looking to take over first place from the Giants, and we're keeping our eyes on those games. The last time I checked, Dodgers 2-0. I'm watching that one, and Brewers still 2-0 on the Giants, bottom five. And that Indians-Royals game after 10, still 3-3. And I've given you everything else that matters. Just so you know, tomorrow is going to be a beautiful thing, all things being equal. Because tomorrow through Monday, there is college football out the ying. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday even. Sunday, no pain day NFL, but there is Notre Dame, Florida State. I have friends going to that game. And Louisville, Ole Miss is on Monday, Labor Day at 8 o'clock at night on ESPN. That Notre Dame, Florida State game on ABC on Sunday night at 7:30. But it all starts tomorrow. I know they had a crappy game tonight as UAB shut out Jacksonville State 31-0. So anyway, tomorrow you've got slews of games. And I wanted to go through them with you at the very least and kind of hype you up for them. Temple and Rutgers in Piscataway. Rutgers laying 14.5. Greg Schiano's Scarlet Knights taking on the Temple Owls. Strangely enough, their numbers are very similar in what they score, what they allow, like last year, right? Who they are, their projections of what their, you know, win total is going to be, who they're going to be on both sides of the ball, how many games they're going to win, lose, all the rest. They're very similar, these teams. But I just am not buying into the Temple Owls, frankly, on the road in Jersey against a Big Ten team. Now, look, any way you slice it, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, at the very least, Rutgers gets better players than Temple. That's just it, right? I mean, if you're a kid and you're in Jersey, whatever, playing high school football, and you get an offer to play at Rutgers in the Big Ten, are you going to do it or are you going to go to Temple in Philadelphia? I mean, honestly, you're going to go to Rutgers. And I think Shiano's building a better program than Temple. What they should do is go out and kick Temple's ass. Mafia, would you disagree with that?
They should, you know, given that the size of the program, the, where they play, and I don't know if they can kick anybody's ass. Rutgers is always so mediocre. Even since they brought Shiano back, they're like, oh, well, he's back. They were so good when he was there. Yeah, he was so good there in the Big East. Now you're playing in the Big Ten. Big difference.
Fair enough, but Temple sucks.
They've had some teams that give, they give you trouble at times. They don't beat a lot of people, but you know they have the, those games or two where you take them lightly and they put up some points and actually hang with you.
So you're going to bet on Temple?
Yes, out of principle, I will never bet on Rutgers.
Oh, out of principle. Oh, because you went to Seton Hall, so you hate Rutgers. So you're betting on Temple just for your based on your heart.
No, just because Rutgers sucks.
Fair enough. Citadel and Coastal Carolina are playing. Coastal Carolina's kind of made a name for themselves here. Like, you know, COVID year, they certainly did. Do you think they can live up to it again, Mafia, with like a real season, fans, the whole kit and caboodle? And I know how bad Citadel is. You know, it's always nice when we see Alabama play Citadel every year, that tough game before the Auburn game, before the Iron Bowl, when they hook up with Citadel.
They all do that. It doesn't West Virginia usually play them at least once, you know, every year and beat their ass then too? I mean, Citadel's just one of those teams that kind of is there just to be beat up. You know, it's not one of the service schools, but is, you know, it's that weird limbo area that they're in. They always get beat up by everybody. Do I think Coastal Carolina puts on the kind of season they did last year where they were, you know, rising up the rankings and had a chance to, you know, maybe sneak into a good bowl game or maybe the playoffs if someone really fell on their face? No. Do I think they beat up on the Citadel? Yes.
I think the Citadel is some kind of military school.
Right, but it's not like one of the major, it's not like the actual service academy from the government. It's not, you know, Air Force, Navy, or, you know, Army.
Maybe it's the Draft Dodgers.
It's the National Guard Official College?
The National Guard team. The Citadel. We should keep that in mind permanently. Long Island and Florida International. What a thrill that'll be for everyone. I don't even want to talk about it. Boise and UCF. Do you think Boise, who's projected, our boy Kenny White hasn't projected to be better than Central Florida. Do you think the Broncos can go on the road down to Orlando and beat Central Florida? They're getting 6 points.
You know, if you just go off the name recognition, obviously you jump Boise, but that spread just makes me worry. What's going on? You know, I know Boise has not been the same team, you know, the last couple of years where they're getting those big, you know, New Year's Day bowl games and upsetting these teams. Now people know who they are. Now they've, you know, watched them. They scouted them. A lot of their coaches and some of their, you know, bigger players aren't going there anymore because those coaches have left. I think that, you know, you get them on the Smurf turf, obviously that's a nightmare. Going to Florida, I'll go with UCF.
All right. Oh, so you're going UCF and laying the points. There you go. Western Illinois and Ball State in Muncie. Ball State's laying 32. Wagner at Buffalo. Buffalo laying the heavy wood, 43 and a hook. Jesus. Weber at Utah in Salt Lake Shakers. The Utes are laying 30 and a hook. Here's one. NC State, a lot of hype. High ranking, a lot of people are buying in on NC State. They're at home in Raleigh playing South Florida, laying 19. Do you think NC State's as good as everybody thinks they are, Moff?
No, I don't think so. They never are. You know, you didn't win with Phillip Rivers. You didn't win with Russell, you know, Wilson. They've had a bunch of guys that have come out of there. I mean, high draft picks or quarterback or certain other things, but they never really win. They're going to be a decent team. They're going to be okay in that conference because – it's a weak conference. That's a lot of lumber to lay, though, early in the season for me.
East Carolina and Appalachian State, App State laying 10 in the Duke's Mayo Classic. Nothing like a mayonnaise game to get everybody excited. Do you think that's going to be a good game, or does App State roll the Pirates?
I think it'll be a good game. I don't think it's a game that's going to mean anything come, you know, Saturday or anything beyond. It's going to be fun to have this game early in the season. You get these two teams that usually like to put up a bunch of points, and you know, people know just because of upsets they pulled in the previous years, but it's going to be tight, and then later on, they're not going to matter anymore.
UC Davis at Tulsa. Tulsa laying 23.5. The big game tomorrow night is Ohio State and Minnesota at the Gophers. Ohio State's laying 2 touchdowns. Can P.J. Fleck and the Gophers hang with the number 4 Buckeyes and their new quarterback?
I think if you're going to catch them, this is the game to catch them because, you know, obviously they're working a new guy. He's got to figure out the system. I know he's been around, but you're getting that game, you know, area, that gameplay was the first time in like 50 years they're starting a quarterback who hasn't had any game experience at all. So they'll be fine eventually. They'll be rolling through everybody because they always do. This is the one game maybe Minnesota could catch them in, you know, be in this game and just cover and lose by 10 or 11 instead of the 2 touchdowns. But if you caught this, you know, 3 or 4 weeks down the line, they get smoked.
You got Bowling Green at Tennessee in Knoxville, and Tennessee is laying 35. Jesus.
Yeah, that's insane. I don't care if they're playing whatever that school was that IMG just smacked around 58-0. I would never lay that much with Tennessee.
Bishop should they Sycamore. Win by that much?
Yeah, should they win by that much over, you know, this school though in this game? Yes, they are a much better program, much bigger program, but I'm not buying it. I'm not believing it. I'm staying away on this game. I'm not touching it. And if I was, it would be against Tennessee covering because they suck.
UT Martin at Western Kentucky. The Hilltoppers are laying 22. Houston Baptist at New Mexico. New Mexico laying 24.5. Eastern Washington and UNLV. UNLV laying 2.5. Can the Hawks upset UNLV in Vegas? Everybody else beats them.
I think you said it there. Everyone else beats UNLV, so why not them?
And Southern Utah and Arizona State playing in Tempe. Herm Edwards cheating Sun Devils laying 45. And Southern Utah got their ass beat last week. You think it'll happen again?
Probably, but I can't lay my own money on a spread that big. If games like that, I just sit back, maybe do the in-game and see how things break, you know, early on before I jump in there. Anything over 40 points, you know, I don't even want to watch, let alone bet.
So on Friday night, the two best games are North Carolina and Virginia Tech in Blacksburg and Michigan State and Northwestern in Evanston at Ryan Field. Northwestern laying 3. North Carolina laying 5.5 to Va Tech in that other game. There are some other games on Friday, but none of them matter. And then Saturday, there's a bevy of games. When I come back, I'm going to talk to the VP of Circus Sports, Mike Palm, in Vegas at the biggest sports book in the world and see what he thinks of some of the biggest games that are going to be played this week, including his opinion on the Ohio State game and the biggest games being played on Saturday and then that Sunday game with Notre Dame and then they're playing at Florida State and then the Monday game, Louisville, Ole Miss. We'll ask him what he thinks, plus talk about Circa Millions and Circa Survivor. It's Pharrell on a bench. Go with us.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go find a clover patch, get down on all fours, and find one with 4 leaves. Or you can get the winning edge right here. And you won't get any ticks. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Mike Palm is the vice president of Circa Sports out in Vegas in the tremendous Circa Casino, unbelievable spot in Sin City. Now everybody's talking about it. They have the greatest sports book and the biggest sports book in the world. It is a sight to behold. The action going on in this place is unequaled by anybody anywhere. They've taken over the business in Vegas. Everybody hangs out at the Circa Sports Book. And you see it constantly on social media. People that go there, it just blows their mind. When they go to the stadium swim at Circa, it blows their mind. They have the biggest parties, the biggest sports book, the biggest pool, the baddest ass casino in town. And Mike runs it all with Derek Stevens. Mike was on Coast to Coast today. We wanted to bring him on the bench tonight on the radio side because Mike loves action. You know, it's one thing to be a big suit, big shot in the casino business. It's another thing to actually love betting. He loves betting on sports. He's got the Mike Palm Readers, which is a huge fan club of his because everybody knows that Mike gets involved in the tickets every week, every game that matters, every big game he's all over. He loves betting all sports. So what was it like for you, Mike, when you guys opened up the biggest sports book in the world and you walked in there and it was fully operational and the fans flooded in there and you saw the look on their faces and you saw people lining up to bet at that magnificent Shangri-La of windows where everyone just goes in there and bets and watches sports like it's they're in heaven. If you die, that's where you want to go to heaven is the Circus Sportsbook.
You know, Pharrell, when people walk in to the sports book for the first time or they get there on the first level, I mean, the look of awe in their eyes and everybody's pulling out their phone and they're taking videos, they're taking pictures, they're posting it on Twitter, on their Instagram, on their Facebook. They can't believe what they've seen. And the most, frequent comment is, I think I've died and gone to heaven. I mean, when we opened up and we got operational and we started filling that book up, the stadium seats, like 400 stadium seats on the left and right, and then you got all the different tiers of booths and club seats and the recliners down in the front, and to see those things packed on a Monday night, a Thursday night, all day Saturday and Sunday. I mean, for Super Bowl, we had to get the police to help get people moving just to create aisleways because people were just jamming themselves, March Madness. I mean, it's just like human walls of people coming because they want to be close to it.
Wow. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. So I remember Derek was telling me that you guys have had phenomenal response from, you know, tourists, bettors, people coming to Vegas that are filling up Circa. They want to taste it. They want to live it. They want to be a part of it. And then they go to the sports book and you just talked about like the control of the crowds. So you're telling me that literally every week, basically since it's been open, the place is just packed with sports bettors.
We're already sold out of every piece of real estate at the pool and in the sports book for the first two weekends of the NFL. 11th, 12th, 18th, 19th, sold out. Standing room only already.
Wow. And I mean, I would be licking my chops if I were you guys, because that is just money. And that's just all there is to it. We all know what it's about. We all know what the casino business is about. We all know what the sportsbook business is about. But not only are you guys making tons of money and people are also winning bets and making some money for themselves, but it has to make you really happy to see that on both fronts for your pockets and for fans that are hitting big games.
You know, it's just a great experience for people to come out here, groups of guys, four guys, six guys, eight guys, 10 guys, six couples, and have such a great time. Fire on these games, get to see every game on a big screen. The guys in the active content management team are doing a great job getting the volume on the right games, getting the volume on key moments in other games, keeping everybody involved, both in the sports book and at the pool. There's days we get whacked. Sure, it happens. We're taking a lot of volume. I mean, I can't believe, Scotty, you know, I didn't get into these smaller sports until pandemic, and then I started. I mean, the amount of right we do on these UFC fights is incredible. I mean, Sunday night, even when you got these bloggers, these Instagram guys, the Jake Paul and this. I mean, the place Sunday night was standing room only for the fights. I mean, it's incredible the appetite these folks have for action.
Are you stunned at after the world, went through COVID and all these people, you know, frankly, stopped working, the economy tanked and people were working from home or whatever. And, you know, the whole world changed. Were you surprised at all that people, like, because they kept, you know, sports was still happening and there were no fans, but people started betting again as if nothing had ever happened. Like, I couldn't even fathom the volume that I saw that Nevada and New Jersey were having. And I know you guys, when all these other states started opening up sports books, people thought that would be harmful to Vegas. It's been anything but.
It's the best thing in the world. I mean, it's like training grounds for people. Now they have betting, you know, within 15 minutes of where they live, and they can learn about it. And when they come to Vegas, that's part of the menu of what they're doing. It's not – competition is never a bad thing, Pharrell. It's never – it's a good thing. And I love to see these states. I love to see New Jersey doing so well. I love to see Colorado. I love to see – we're just getting into Iowa. We're going to launch Circus Sports in Iowa on Thursday, September 23rd. We're already in Colorado. I love everything about it, that everybody – it's mainstream. We're talking about it. We're talking about it on the networks. We're talking about it everywhere now. It's not some dirty secret. It's part of the American recreational pastime. And look, sports were about our only diversion in the last 2 years, going through this COVID and everything else that happened in this country. And people have an unmet demand to go out and experience it and have fun.
Do you have interest in New Jersey and New York? And those licenses in New York are like gold, the Willy Wonka tickets.
Well, there, you know, Derek, who's just a great businessman, always says, you got to look at, you know, what the barrier to entry is. Are the models there with the tax rates? Are they, you know, look at some states are not going to be good to go into because of the way they're set up, both with the fees, the licenses, the tax rates. It's very hard to win. Remember, we have a low hold model. We're about taking big bets and not doing a lot of takeout. If you look at our futures markets, look at the golf tournaments every week. Every golfer on the board's better odds at our joint than almost everywhere else. That's because we don't believe in a high takeout model. We want to take bets. We want to take bets from the public, from sharp people. We want to take bets, and we want volume. We have a lower hold model. So when you get into those states, you really have to look into the particulars. Some of them are not good. It would be very hard for us to operate at a profit, and it doesn't make any sense to go into. Other states, we're still trying to get in. We're working in Illinois. We're working in Indiana. There's a lot of things coming up. Washington State. I mean, it's expanding so quickly and so rapidly, and people are just figuring out in these states. We just have a whole team of people that looks at that for Circus Sports. Where's the right place to get into? Who's the right casinos to do partnerships with?
Don't you think that the 50% in Jersey and New York is BS, the tax?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's. I mean, how can you operate at that? I mean, there's some businesses they have. That's their business model, and they could do that, but I mean, it's so punitive, these taxes, that it doesn't make a lot of sense because they're going to turn away a lot of good operators because it's so punitive.
So the rush is on for people to sign up for Circa Millions 3 and Circa Survivor. You know you're going to pull it off. Do you like the pressure of the last 10 days trying to round it out and get everybody in the fold? I love seeing people go into Circa, the D, the Golden Gate, and taking pictures of their Circa Millions hat when they've finally had the stones to walk up and enter the contest. How close is it going to be, Mike?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to make it this year. I mean, Harry Houdini, a.k.a. Derek Stevens, or Andy Dufresne, whatever you want to call him, we've pulled it out in the last minute at the 11th hour the last 2 years. But this 10 million, let's think about it, Scotty. We went from a 1.5 million guarantee to 4 million between the two contests last year to 10 million. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to crawl before you walk and walk before you run. Right now, as we speak, we're sitting at a little over 2,500 in the Circa Million, which needs 4,000 to break even with the entries because Derek guaranteed 4 million. But we're only at 2,100 in the Survivor and we need 6,000. I don't know how we're going to do it. We still need 3,862 more entries. We got 10 days left. And that short day, the last day, you got to get your entries in Saturday the 11th by 2. I hope everybody doesn't think they're just going to come in that Saturday morning and get it in. Remember, the proxies are going to be putting people's picks in for the contest. That's the first week of the NFL and all the picks got to be in by 3. So there's a certain amount of limited capacity. So make your plans, folks. If you're going to get in the contest, come out this weekend. Come out during the week. Get out here Thursday or Friday next weekend. I don't want to see this mad dash of people getting shut out on Saturday the 11th at 2 p.m.
Yeah, we're on all over California and San Diego on Mighty 1090 and through Los Angeles all the way up into the Canadian Rockies. Everybody in California, because your state is so backward-assed that they don't allow sports betting, you know where you got to go. You need to jump in the plane, jump in the car, rock over to the Circa this weekend, Go tomorrow, 4-day bender, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can watch that Florida State Notre Dame game Sunday night. Get in, get signed up for Circa Millions, Circa Survivor. What are you waiting for? You're going to spend a weekend listening to your wife yell at you again. Get in a car with your buddy, drive out, honk the horn, wave at her, go to Vegas, sign up for the contest. All right, Mike, I got a couple minutes. Who you taking in the biggest games, Ohio State and Minnesota tomorrow night?
Yeah, my partner, Amal Shaw, is an Ohio State graduate. I think their defense is going to be better. I'm not worried about it. I don't know if I'm going to make a big play on the game, but I think Ohio State's probably going to cover that number at Minnesota. I'm not too worried about the boat rower Fleck and his crew this year.
And Bama and Miami in Atlanta at Mercedes. Miami getting 19 and a hook from Bama. And you know what they've done the last 13 years or whatever it is on these opening kickoff games they play. Generally, I mean, like 80% of the time, they kick everyone's ass.
Yeah, I like that game under. I think the Miami defense is underrated, and I think De'Aaron King is overrated. I don't get the guy. You go from Houston, you don't think Dana Holgerson can make your career as a quarterback, and to go to Miami to be coached by Manny Diaz, I don't buy it. I think the Tide get a big lead early and they call off the dogs a little bit in the second half. You've seen that over the years in this game in Atlanta with Alabama, the first game, when they start to roll some of these ACC schools. I think 64-65 is too high of a number, under here.
I love palm reader. Georgia and Clemson. Clemson laying 3.
You know, I wanted to take Georgia. The line was 4 at one point. But the big tight end, the kid from Vegas, the 6'7", he's out. The center's out. They have some injury issues there. I think it's going to be a tall task for Georgia. If I had to play the game, I'm probably going to lay the 3 with Clemson. The good thing about this game for these two schools is they get to find out where they're at early, and it's probably not an elimination game. Obviously, Georgia can come back and win the SEC and still make the playoffs. And Clemson, because of the brand of their name now, even though the ACC is weak, if they blow the game, I still think if they run the table, they make the playoffs.
All right, Mike, listen, I'm going to do everything I can to push everybody to Vegas to sign up for the Circa Millions 3 and Circa Survivor. Go do it. Don't miss out. Don't be a fool. You will regret it if you have not signed up. Your friends are going to call you a loser, and they're not going to stop calling you a loser because they're in the contest and you're not, and you're pathetic. Go sign up in Vegas. Then you can play from anywhere. Use a proxy. You'll be styling. Mike, congrats on all the success. We'll keep killing it for you guys. Circa's rocking. The sportsbook's rocking. Continued success, health, and happiness, my friend. Say hi to all the boys and girls at Circa. I love everybody. Keep kicking ass and taking names. See you, man.
Got to get your butt out here. Let's party at the pool and bet some games.
Great stuff.
Scott, my buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, if you're going to Vegas this weekend, even if you're not, make plans to go to Vegas, either or. Get to Vegas, sign up for Circa Millions 3, 5 picks against the spread each week, 1 point for correct, half point for push, 3 entries per person. It's a grand a pop, so that'd be 3 large. $1 million top prize guaranteed, $4 million in total prizes, quarterly payouts, no rake, 100% payback of prize pool to the players, not to the hizzy. Circa Survivor, you can enter 6 times at a grand a pop. That's 6,000, $6 million total guaranteed payout, $1 million undefeated bonus prize. Choose one different team to win straight up each week. Cannot pick the same team twice. Ties and canceled games are losers. Thanksgiving, Christmas are contest weeks in their own right. 20 selections for the season. Entries for holiday weeks previously selected will be eliminated. That means you lose. Undefeated bonus prize week 18. Must choose Kansas City or Tampa. If you've already used them earlier, you lose. Sign up in Vegas at the Circus Sports, Casino Counter, Golden Gate, the D, Tuscany Suites, the Passawater Street Casino on the Circa Nevada mobile app, Circa Kiosks. And you can always use a proxy outside of Vegas for all your snags and picks every week. You're styling. Circa Millions 3, Circa Survivor, do it. Don't be left out in the cold. Get to Vegas, sign up. What is the problem? Dodgers still up 2-0 on the Braves. Top 7 at Chavez Ravine. And the Brewers had a 2-0 lead, but the Giants have tied it 2-2. Bottom of the 6th. They've gotten back in the game in the fifth inning. Bryant, a double to deep right. Dickerson scored, made it 2-1. And then Posey, a single, scored. Bryant, it's 2-2 now. The Giants need that game. If they lose, Dodgers win. Dodgers take over first. So that's the games to keep an eye on. That's all I know.